Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? I'm happy to be here with you. This morning, we are going to be in the book of Jonah, so if you have your Bibles, you can get that out. In times of adversity, we often ask a lot of questions. We ask the question, why? Why? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? We ask, what? What is happening? What is going on? And then we hopefully ultimately get to, what do I do? But more importantly, Lord, what do I do? And with all the things that are going on, I think that the only thing that I would like to say about that this morning is to do something. Just do something. There's so many times that we are inundated with information or media or news or hard things or deaths in the family or whatever. And we absorb and we exist and we process, but then we don't do anything. And so this morning, as we get into this message and this word specifically, I want you to remember the phrase, do something. Last week, Pastor Lauren answered part of the question that we ask, you know, Lord, what do we do? He said that we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ, and that the mind of Christ is humble and obedient and repentant. That having the mind of Christ means that we give up pride and we absorb and take on humility. Over the past few months, Pastor Blaine has taught us what we need in regards to prayer and to pray like Jesus. And specifically, his sermon series was titled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. This morning, the other thing that I think that answers that Lord, what do I do question is a teachable spirit. You see, Pastor Lauren talked about having the mind of Christ, and in order to have the mind of Christ, we have to be taught and learn to have the mind of Christ. Pastor Blaine taught us to ask the Lord to teach us to pray, and in order for us to learn how to pray, we have to be teachable. We have to have a teachable spirit. In his book, Future Shock, Alvin Toffler says, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. A teachable spirit is humble. A teachable spirit is open and eager to learn what the Lord has for us. A teachable spirit accepts correction, instruction, and divine wisdom, all of which foster spiritual maturity and growth. A teachable spirit is available and eager and moldable and dependent on learning. Today, like I said, we're going to be in the book of Jonah, and I know most of you have heard the story of Jonah many times, and as Pastor Blaine was in his sermon series about prayer, what jumped out at me was the prayer of Jonah. Many of you know this, but in the belly of the whale, Jonah prays. And so the Lord had me meditating on that prayer in preparation for this message. And we see in Jonah chapter 1, most of us know, but I'm going to summarize in case someone doesn't, that Jonah was told to go to Nineveh by the Lord, right? The Lord said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah doesn't. Instead, he goes down to the docks, he buys a ticket on a boat to go in the opposite direction. And what happens is he's on this boat, the wind and the waves come, and the crew on the boat asks Jonah, what do we do? And Jonah says, throw me overboard. Now, pause. I don't know that that would have been my response. Like, Jonah, the crew's like, what do we do? And Jonah goes, throw me overboard. I'm like, okay, not my first choice. But they do, and Jonah begins to drown, and the Lord sends a fish to swallow Jonah. And so this morning is where we find Jonah in the belly of the whale. And what does Jonah do? Jonah prays. Side note also, I think I would have started praying before I even got thrown off the boat. Like, we'll see later, but the guys on the boat actually asked Jonah to pray to his God, and he said no. And then the other thing I thought was, I think as soon as I hit the water, I would have started praying too, right? I would have been like, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. But that's not what Jonah does. Instead, Jonah sinks and drowns, and God sends a big fish to rescue him. And so in the belly of the whale, Jonah talks to God. And this prayer in chapter 2 becomes the foundation for his restoration. It begins to be the prayer that leads him into his actual calling, into saying yes to what the Lord's asked him to do. So chapter 2, verse 1 says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep, in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have created us to be beings that are teachable and can be teachable, Lord. I ask that your Holy Spirit just imparts wisdom into ourselves this morning, Lord, and that your word will not return void. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Jonah's prayer represents a deep cry from a man who is at the end of himself. He had made a choice. And the choice was to run from God, to turn from God, to not do what God had asked him to do. Jonah said no to God. And inside of this, I kind of was like, why Jonah? Like, why didn't you pick a guy that would have said yes the first time and did the job well? Like, why Jonah? And I think God knew that Jonah was teachable. God also knew that we need to see real life examples of people who mess up and are redeemable and grow up and are redeemed. And so the question this morning is, are you teachable? And in this prayer in the belly of the whale, God meets Jonah where he is, and God also meets us where we are. When we have a teachable spirit, we are available to let God meet us where we are. God is the perfect gentleman, and he will not force himself on you. But if we are available to his Holy Spirit and to what he says to us, then he will meet us where we are. And like I said, in the first chapter of Jonah, the men on the boat asked Jonah to pray to his, they literally said, pray to your God. And Jonah doesn't. He doesn't even say no, he just doesn't do it. He doesn't pray. Do you know the easiest way to get somebody to not do something? To tell them to do it. Yeah? Does anybody resemble that statement or been in an experience where you've told somebody what to do and they're like, nope, I'm not going to do that just because you told me to do it? Jonah doesn't seem like a yes man to me at this point. He kind of says no a lot. Jonah doesn't pray on the boat. He doesn't pray when he gets thrown overboard. And I think part of that is when he's on the boat and the guys are like, who are you? Where are you from? He says, I'm a Hebrew and I believe in the Hebrew God. Jonah knew who God was, and he knew that he had said no to God, and he knew that there were consequences to that. And so inside of this, he knew that he had already decided to not do what God told him to do, and he knew that whatever he got, he deserved. We don't learn to pray in our confidence. We learn to pray in our weakness. We learn to pray in circumstances and experiences that are somewhat out of our control. We learn to pray because we reach a point where we don't have the answers and we know that God does. And this is where Jonah learns to pray. God meets Jonah in the belly of the fish. And the funny part, the part that I love really, is that Jonah's prayer is a song. Jonah's praying all of the Bible verses that he learned when he was younger. He remembers the Lord. His prayer says, I remembered the Lord. Having a teachable spirit means your sight is not diminished by the room that you're in. Jonah has a hope for the future. In this prayer, we see that. We see that for some reason, he knows that his story is not over. His story is not finished. He's not in the belly of fish going, "Woe is me, Lord, save me." He already knows in his spirit that he is already saved. This idea of being teachable is all throughout Scripture. And this morning, I'm going to share with you a couple other spots in Scriptures where the Lord shows this to us. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." God gave us people to learn from. And in order to learn from people, we have to be teachable. We have to be open. We have to be receptive. He gave us the word. In order to learn from the word, we have to be open and teachable and receptive. We see that in Acts chapter 8. It describes a story of an Ethiopian eunuch who believed in the word, who read the word, who went to Jerusalem to worship at the holy temple. And on the way back from Jerusalem, from his time of worship, he's reading a scroll. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah. He's sitting by the side of the road in his chariot, and he's literally reciting these scriptures out loud. And the Holy Spirit prompts Philip. Philip is on the road as well, and the Holy Spirit prompts Philip to see this man. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go talk to him. And Philip goes up to this Ethiopian. He hears what he's saying, and he asks this man if he understands what he's reading. Do you understand what you're reading? The word tells us in Acts 8:35, it says, the Ethiopian replies, "How can I know unless someone guides me?" He asks Philip to teach him what the scripture is about. He asks Philip to interpret what the scripture is saying. And the word tells us that Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture telling him the good news about Jesus. And immediately after he understood the scripture and understood that there was a Messiah and a Savior, he immediately asked to be baptized, and Philip took him down to the river and baptized him. The Ethiopian, we can commend him because he's reading the word. And he's reading the word to understand and to learn and to know, but he doesn't know, he doesn't understand. And the Lord sends help. By the power of his Holy Spirit, the Lord sends a person to help him. Church, the Lord sends people constantly to help us. But if we are not open and teachable and able to absorb that information that the Holy Spirit is telling us, then we won't learn what he has to teach us. We have to work at it. We have to trust God for his insight, his direction. We have to trust that God's going to bring us people and teachers and wise counsel and pastors and friends and co-laborers and disciples that are going to help us to stay open-minded and be teachable. 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul says it like this. He says, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." So what does teachability look like? Are we studying or listening or watching for understanding? Are we allowing Holy Spirit to speak to us? Or are we just sitting there with a video or a book or in church having a conversation with ourselves? Are we teachable? Are we listening to absorb, or are we listening to retort? We should approach God first, remembering that he wants us to invite him to teach us. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach." A teachable spirit listens and then does something. A teachable spirit listens and then puts what they've learned into practice. We have to practice what we've learned, right? It's kind of like a foreign language. How many of you took a foreign language in school? Anybody? That's it? How many of you took Spanish or French or German or something in school? Yeah, right? How many of you speak that fluently right now? No fair, Brenda. You have to practice what you learn. You have to practice what you learn. And a teachable spirit will want to practice and be eager to practice what you've learned. In Jonah chapter 2, we see Jonah in his prayer. He comes to the same conclusion as the Ethiopian eunuch. Jonah says, "I will fulfill all my vows to you. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." When we are teachable, we all will come to the same conclusion, because there is only one truth. And the truth is that salvation comes from the Lord. And it's funny, because in his prayer, the word salvation that Jonah uses, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. Jonah sees in advance what he doesn't get to see in his lifetime. He's longing for the day when Yeshua would be his salvation. And it's kind of funny, because he gets an immediate answer. He gets saved. He gets spit up on the land. He gets to continue in his calling. But he also gets saved for all eternity because of his belief in the salvation of the Lord. And finally, Jonah says, "I will do what you say." Having a teachable spirit means doing what Jesus says, but it also means being persistently dependent on what the Lord says. Having a teachable spirit means being persistently dependent on the Lord. Whether it's where we are right now, whether it's in a dark room somewhere or in the belly of a whale, or maybe where it's where we're going to be 10 to 15 years from now, we have to pursue dependence on the Lord. And what that means is that we have to constantly do what Pastor Lauren said, is have the mind of Christ and be humble and abandon our pride. In order to be teachable, in order to be persistently dependent on the Lord, we cannot be prideful, and we have to be humble. It's funny, because we have to learn how to listen to the Lord. We have to learn how to be dependent on him, even when we have no idea what we're doing. Has anybody ever felt that way? Like, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. Or, I have no idea what's going on in this world right now. I have no idea. This just seems like complete chaos. And even when we have no clue what's going on or what we're doing, in fact, it's even better when we don't, because that's when we get to lean on the Lord. Jonah's prayer in the belly of the whale shows his revelation of who he is truly dependent on, and it's not himself. His dependence is on the rescuer, Yeshua, the one who saves. We see another account in Acts chapter 17, verse 10. There's a record of Paul and Silas and Timothy, and they go to Berea. And they go to Berea, and the word tells us that the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And as a result, many of them believed. I think part of the reason that this specific group is mentioned in scripture is because the Jews in Berea were teachable. They received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day. And not only, I mean, by this time, people know who Paul is, and Paul's got Silas and Timothy with him, and they're teaching, but they take what Paul says and they check it against scripture. Church, we're called to hold everything accountable to the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up, it is not truth, because there is only one truth. These people were so teachable, in fact, that Paul decides that he's going to leave Timothy and Silas to teach them. And at this point in this story, it was so obvious. You can't teach what you haven't learned yourself. And all through Scripture, we see Paul teaching people how to do what he does, right? We see Timothy and Silas, and Timothy is a great example of a teachable spirit, because he has committed his life to follow this guy who follows Jesus, to learn from him so that he can do the same thing. Can you imagine the effectiveness and the outcome of an inherently teachable person listening and learning from someone who is teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit? And the most awesome part about this is available to us today. It's called discipleship. And you absolutely have access to innumerable amounts of knowledge and wisdom in the faces and spaces of other people. Be persistent in depending on the Lord, and He will teach you, and He will bring others to teach you. It's funny, on Thursday, Linda walked into my office. I proofread the bulletin for her sometimes, and she discovered one of my not-so-secret secrets. So I was sitting at my desk, and she's looking at me, and she's like staring at me. I'm like, what is she looking at? She goes, you have a lot of books. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I have my bookshelf behind me on purpose so I don't get distracted by all the books on my bookshelf, really. And honestly, my husband will tell you that's only the half of it. Like, if that, I have more at home. And I even downsized when we moved. And I've learned through the wise words of my husband, the worst thing to move is a lot of books. So I did downsize, and I dream about those books every night. No, not really. I'm okay. But I love books, and I love the people who write books, because I learned a very long time ago, I learned that if I commit every moment of every day to studying and learning, I will still come up short. I will still not know everything, that no matter what I do, I will never understand or be able to learn all the things. And so I rely on other wise people who are inspired by the Holy Spirit to dissect the word of the Lord in a way that helps me learn better. I'm not a philosopher, I'm not a theologian, but I recognize that those people have gifts. I'm called to people. I'm not called to study in an office for the rest of my life, but I'm so grateful for those people that do, because I have access to their wisdom and their knowledge, which is why I love books. Jonah ends his prayer, and the fish vomits Jonah onto land. I don't know about you, but there's so many kids in Sunday school and youth group that love that line. The fish vomits Jonah onto the land. You can use your imagination to just absorb that moment in history. The following verse, Jonah 3:1, says, "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time." And honestly, friends, I don't think there's a better verse in the Bible. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You see, when we say yes to God, we say yes to a journey, but we don't know where that journey is going to take us. And in all reality, we don't know where God's going. We don't know how He's moving, but we get to say yes. And Jonah first said no, has this interesting experience with a whale, and then decides to course correct and say yes. Jonah had no clue what that yes meant. He had no idea that this would be a story that we'd be reading hundreds or thousands of years later. But he finally decides to say yes to God and enter into this new calling. And there's mercy for Jonah. I want to remind you, this is the Old Testament. This is pre-Jesus. So the things that could have happened to Jonah, read anything before that book in the Bible. There are a lot of bad things that could have happened to Jonah because he said no to God. Anybody heard of the Israelites? Like this is mercy. This is grace from the Lord. The Bible tells us the word of the Lord came a second time, and it's the same call. The call does not change. The only thing that changed is Jonah's response. This is one of the reasons I think that God chose Jonah, because he's teachable. He changed his response accordingly. A teachable spirit is moldable. The call does not change, our response does. Mark 4:23 in the Amplified Bible says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. Then he said to them, 'Pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond. And more will be given to you besides. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him." What this verse is saying is that the amount to which you are capable of being teachable determines the amount to which you will be given more understanding, more wisdom, more power, more knowledge. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God said to Jonah, you're going to Nineveh and you're going to preach, and there's grace and faith in that commandment because he's getting that second chance. When God says go, you go. And this is how God invites us to faith and invites us to trust him. It's in those little steps, those little yeses that we say to the Lord. When he says go, you go. And I wonder if Jonah had started off in the direction towards Nineveh. Like, just wonder with me for a minute. Like, what would have happened if he kind of said yes to God and just started maybe the first 10 steps in the right direction? I feel like maybe the Lord would have kind of helped him along that way. Instead, he turns and he goes the other direction. If we say yes to God and we start to step out in faith that he will lead us, then he will get us through wherever he has called us to go. This is how God invites us to faith, to trust him, to be molded and led by the Holy Spirit. And it's funny because the call is not always clear. It's not always clear. Sometimes it is just go, or one word, or do this, or you have a feeling in your spirit and you're like, I'm supposed to do this, and you just do it. It's not always clear where you're going, but it is always clear who you're going with, because we serve the God of second chances. In the kingdom of God, when we have teachable spirits, there is never an it's too late. God does not write us off. We always have a second chance. That is the blessing of the redemption of the salvation of the cross. We always have a second chance. You remember Peter? You remember Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times? In Matthew 16, 15, Jesus says, what about you, Peter? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus knew. He knew that Peter would turn his back. He knew that Peter would deny him three times, but he also knew that there would be a day when Jesus would come back to Peter and say, do you love me more than these? And Peter would say, yes, Lord. And he'd say, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Then take care of my lambs. This is the son of Jonah, the one who gets a call the second time. We are all the son or daughter of Jonah. God will continue to call us over and over and over again. And my prayer and my hope is that that yes in your spirit is so much more loud than the no. Eventually, Jonah makes it to Nineveh, right? And he begins to preach. He preaches for 3 days. He walks in to the city of Nineveh, and he preaches probably the worst sermon ever preached. No joke. He walks in, he says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He says this over and over again all throughout the city so everyone hears for 3 days. He doesn't mention God once, not one time. In Hebrew, it's only 5 words. 40 days Nineveh destroyed. 40 days Nineveh destroyed. And he preaches, and the whole city turns to God. The word tells us that the king, the animals, the people, the whole city, they all turn to the Lord. It transforms the city, his preaching does, and this is why. My friend, one of the theologians and authors that I love, A.J. Swoboda, said it like this. He said, even if your sermon is the worst sermon, but it is the thing that God is saying, it will change the world. Jonah is saying what God is saying to the city, and they are transformed. When you don't know what to say, say what the Lord says to say. And the only way to know that is to spend time with him, to learn how to have the mind of Christ, to learn how to pray the way that Jesus prayed, to be open and flexible, be able to unlearn, relearn, or just plain old learn what God wants you to. A teachable spirit is available. Available to the Holy Spirit, available to the Lord, available to other people, available to relationship. A teachable spirit is eager. A teachable spirit wants to be taught. And sometimes I know that that's the worst thing ever. Like, I did not love the school part of school. I was a social butterfly. I loved seeing my friends. I loved having fun. I loved art, and I loved PE. Those were my favorite things. But, and Pastor Lauren said this last week, be careful what you ask God for. At one point in my life, I asked the Lord to make me love learning about him. Make me teachable. And not only that, make me eager to learn from you. Help me to desire and be hungry for your word. Make me moldable. God created all of us the way that we are. But he also has the ability to help us change and be formed into what he wants us to be. We are constantly working out our salvation. We're constantly becoming something else. And I want to end with this today. I'm going to read for you from a book. The Lord works in amazing ways. The Lord orchestrated every song we sang today. It was decided weeks ago. This sermon that I just shared with you, I've been meditating on this prayer for weeks and weeks. I got to go to Oregon, which I call home because that's where I grew up. Not too long ago, we had a death in the family, and I got to go home. And it was funny because it was hard, but it was wonderful. I got to spend time with people. The person who passed away, we called him Papa Rick. He was my dad. He was the father figure in my life. And he was a fisherman. And I had been meditating on the prayer of Jonah. And I was able to share that with mom and with my bonus sisters. And in a space where it was supposed to be sad, it was actually hopeful and healthy and healing. The other thing is I was in town, and it was Sunday, and I wanted to go to church. And if I'm being honest, I was kind of cranky because some of my plans for the year included going to a pastor's conference, a preaching conference, and learning about preaching from A.J. Swoboda, the guy who has written so many books. I'm going to grab the book. But he's written so many books, and I got to meet him, I don't know, 2019? And I followed him, and I was so mad because I had bought these tickets for this preaching conference a year ago because he was the guest speaker, and then come to find out he's not going. And so I was in Eugene in Oregon, and I thought, well, I'll go to Faith Center. And if you don't know, Eugene Faith Center is one of Foursquare's foundational churches. And I figured maybe I'd see some people I knew, but if anything, I'd go and I'd get to be in the presence of God. And I looked up the sermon time online, and wouldn't you know that the week before, A.J. Swoboda had been ordained as the pastor of that church. And so I got to sit and I got to listen, and I was just so grateful to hear the word. But you know what he was preaching on? He was preaching on Jonah. And I love how the Lord does that for me. The confirmation over and over again that he is who he says he is, and he orchestrates our steps. But the purpose of all of this, the purpose of having the mind of Christ, of learning to pray, being close to Jesus, being teachable, the purpose of all of it is Jesus. And not only Jesus now, but Jesus forever and ever. And so I'm going to read for you from A Teachable Spirit. This is one of AJ's books. Again, I love books. You ever want a book recommendation? I got you. What he says is only God can have divine, perfect, infinite knowledge. The triune God is the only know-it-all. So just as resurrection doesn't annihilate differences, neither will it fix our finitude. In heaven, human beings will continue to be just that, beings. Ephesians 2, 6 through 7 says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now keep in mind that Paul is describing the state of the saints in glory. Notice that God will show the resurrected inhabitants various realities, namely about the endless bounties of God's grace, kindness, and mercy that went unappreciated on earth. For Paul, God has more to show, reveal, and make manifest to our finite eyes. We will, it seems, always have more to learn, perhaps forever. Heaven, then, is the ongoing education of beholding God's never-ending revelation. Paul's description of the future of a Christian is one in which they have much more to learn, and the Lamb will be their teacher. Church, if we do all the things right, we still won't be there yet. It doesn't matter. What matters is having a heart open and teachable and desiring of the Lord and what he wants for us and what he wants in our lives. Not only now, but because apparently that's what we're going to be doing in heaven also, is learning more. I don't know about you. I always had this vision, like, as soon as I get to heaven, I'm going to know all the things, right? I'm just going to know all the things, and I'll get to ask all the questions. Did any of your parents do that? Like, I'd ask my mom a question. She goes, you can ask Jesus when you get to heaven. I do it to my kids. You can ask Jesus when you get to heaven. And guess what? We get to do that because we will get to learn in heaven. And how much more do we want to be teachable now in this space and time so that when we get there, we can know what it means to be in that state? Would you stand with me as we get ready to leave? Father God, I am so grateful for your word. I am so grateful for the experiences that you give us. I am thankful for the hard times, Lord. The times in dark rooms or in the belly of the whale, Lord Jesus, when all we can do is look to you and know that our hope is in you and in you alone, Lord Jesus. Help us to hold on to that. Help us to be 100% dependent on you. Holy Spirit, teach us and mold us. Help us to pursue you with all the passion and all the desire and all the hope and the dreams that you have for us, Lord. Father God, but most importantly, make us like you, Jesus. Help us to be people of peace, people of love, people of hope, people of joy, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to walk out your way. In Jesus' name, amen.